You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. Download the Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads to get the latest news, videos, and photos straight from the team to your device. What should be going on at this leadership summit? Are you thinking now? Are you thinking long term? I got this comment from Gary Canfield. It says, "Camp mortgage for this season. Steady build's the best way to do it. Great teams aren't built on free agency, but the draft." That is absolutely true. That's a fact. He also said we need some great players on offense. And I agree with that, too. I think that when you think about the time that the Browns were the most fun, it was probably that 2007 season when the offense actually was making plays. They had playmakers. They need to find a way.
Yes, they do.
They need to find a way to get good on offense again. I think that that is – I think it's very important – for this team to be good on offense so that there is not just one path to winning football games, that you can win it with your offense, win it with your defense, whatever. I think that would be a great thing to do.
It'd be a great thing. And again, I really don't feel we're that far away. You know, the catalyst to making this all happen is a quarterback. You know, having and I don't necessarily think it can be Johnny Manziel. My gut personally, and this is my perspective, I think it's not Johnny Manziel, but I don't definitively have who it is. Because when you look at the prototypical quarterback, the guys that win playoff games, the guys that win in December, they don't come from a spread system. They are over 6 feet tall, and they have playmakers around them. We have playmakers here. We have two great young running backs. We have, at some point in this season, prior to Alex Mack going down, the first 5-6 games of the year, we were talking about this offensive line playing as the best offensive line in the entire National Football League. Now, that fell off significantly with losing Alex Mack, but when we get him back, we can upgrade there in the draft. And I know I talked about spending money in free agency, but I thought Ray Farmer did an amazing job this past offseason strategically adding those free agents, you know, signing Miles Austin, who most likely will come back probably on a short-term 1 or 2 year deal. Carlos Dansby, you know, you got almost an all-pro player. If he had played 16 games, I believe he would have been a Pro Bowl guy. You got Dante Whitner, who ended up being an alternate but playing in the Pro Bowl. Sure. So he was recognized by the coaches and players and the fans as a player. So we have the pieces, and I think that Coach Pettine is the right man for this job, as well as Ray Farmer strategically finding those free agents and building through the draft that, you know, beyond just the first round last year, he graded out as probably the number one drafted team in the entire National Football League.
Yes.
And if you have another big draft like that this year, you're right in the mix.
And you're good for the next
Absolutely.
4 or 5 years.
You're good for the next four years.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying to mess with the draft or do anything like that, but go make a splash. Go if we're missing a quarterback and we know the draft isn't necessarily where we're going to get the guy that's going to be an impact player right away, who do we want to go after?
You need to find that out. The problem is there isn't anybody that's a great solution out there in free agency. There could be somebody better than what we have.
But can you trade for someone?
That's always a challenge in the National Football League to trade for a good quarterback. I don't know that, you know, that is a tough one to make happen. All right, let's go to the phones, 216-578-0850. Al on a cell. Al, welcome to the show.
Good morning. I've been a Browns fan 56 years. I'm 66. I fell in love with the Browns at 10 years old. You have to build through the draft, and you have to build through longevity. If you look at it mathematically, you take the first five picks in the last 5 years, that's 25 people. How many winners do you got? You can count them on one hand. The problem is they have to draft better. They Yep. must draft better. The problem is through the draft. You win through the draft. How many winners you got out of 25? And I got a little joke for you. The Browns should have hired Dick LeBeau as their offensive coordinator when they left Pittsburgh. You know why?
Why?
Because who knows more about the Cleveland offense than him?
That's very true.
He's seen a lot of different ones, that's for sure. He's seen a lot of different ones. I think, yeah, you've got to draft better. There's no question about it. You've got to do it because that's the way to get it done. And I was talking, referencing that article on Grantland about Bill Belichick. He's made 48 trades solely involving draft picks during his reign. And they did kind of this formula looking at the value he got. 80.6 draft points of approximate value. That's like getting the first overall pick, second overall pick, and 19th overall pick for nothing. Or if you prefer, it's like he's been handed the 99th overall pick in each of his 15 drafts just for showing up. and saying yes to over-anxious teams. So constantly, you know, trading a fifth this year for a fourth the following year, which you can then trade for a third the following year. So in a few years, that's a second or a first-round pick. So that's something that, you know, that's smart, and you want to accumulate assets because the draft is kind of a crapshoot. I don't think that the best GM versus the worst GM makes that many better picks. I think what it's all about is, you know, getting yourself as many opportunities. That's why I like that the Browns have 10 picks. Last year, I liked that they had 10 picks, but that they ended up not using 10 picks.
Correct. And you know what I love about what Bill Belichick has done in New England is, as you accumulate talent and you do so strategically each and every year, you don't have to bat 100% and have all those players become assets that year. Some of them can play and learn, you know, and learn through playing, both good and bad. But then some can sit and wait and learn, you know, like, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, for example. You know, they used, you know, a semi-high pick, as some people might consider it, on an impact player at the quarterback position, and he may not play or start a game for the next 3 years. But what they have is, just like we hung our hat on Brian Hoyer learning from Tom Brady, we have the disciple of Tom Brady, who, and this guy, by the time that he steps foot on the football field, will have that Patriot way ingrained in his mind, and the way to prepare and the way to play and what he needs to do to succeed in the National Football League ingrained in him, you know, by Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, so that when it comes, he's ready. So when you accumulate talent, and I think a lot of what we have to do is here in Cleveland, because we've been so bad for so long that we feel if we have 9 draft picks, we got to go 8 for 9 or 9 for 9, or we feel like we're striking out. You know, because we've been so bad for so long, we haven't gained, you know, ground in free agency, and we're striking out in the draft year after year after year, so we're actually not accumulating talent. These right. people are being released. You know, we're still paying some of them, and they're not even on our roster anymore. So it's patience. You have to have a plan. There is a strategy to it, and I think what's great about it, I think the Patriots – you know, building through the draft, as you've talked about that. You know,
and
that,
he's missed plenty of times.
Absolutely.
But
he has
so many assets that it works out. But
exactly.
Again, he also got his quarterback.
Exactly. And then also, too, I know that having been a part of it, you know, Ted Thompson in Green Bay, you know, to make a Green Bay analogy, they build through the draft. They add one free agent a year, maybe, you know.
Because they also let their guys go so you can get compensatory picks. Bill Belichick has done that with the Patriots, and that's something that people don't pay attention to. You know who else does that all the time? The Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
They get tons of compensatory picks, and that's a third, fourth, fifth round pick usually.
Adding value later.
Adding
in draft.
Value. By the way, Tom Brady, that sixth round pick that they used to draft him was a compensatory pick, and the Patriots have had 25 from them. He's had 25 of those picks since he has been there.
So. Well, no, and also, too, just to reference, Green Bay, as I've said again, have the most in the entire NFL of guys that were drafted by the team that were actually active on their roster. And then also, too, the cool thing is, if you actually live up to your expectations with that team, a team like Ted Thompson or a team like the New England Patriots reward you with a contract, and you get that big second contract, and you stay in one place instead of bouncing around chasing the money all over the NFL.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. That's what the smart organizations do. But they also have kind of that, they got to that point and then continue to be smart, which is why you're seeing sustained success. Eric in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Hey,
how are you?
Good, good. Hey, quick question. I know a couple of you have mentioned building through the draft, I think, which is the smartest way. I mean, it's the only way to get young talent, keep it here at a good cost, and then develop it. But when you look at New England, I think someone made the point about Bill Belichick being – he's a great coach. There's no way around that. But all the picks that he's had, all the players he had, it comes down to one thing. It's the quarterback.
Yep.
I mean, let me ask a question to all of you. Do you think they have as many Super Bowls or any at all, even if they don't have Tom Brady? Do you think they have a Super Bowl if they don't have Tom Brady in all this time?
I think they may have appeared in a couple, I'll say, maybe two, but probably lost because you don't have that gamer like Tom Brady is in the way he plays in the Super Bowl.
Completely agree. I mean,
it's hard to say.
Guy,
I think they would always be competitive. But yes, Tom Brady has been phenomenal. Now, they haven't won a Super Bowl in quite some time, but they still have been excellent. And the year that Brady got hurt in the first play of the game, by the way, they did go 11-5 with Matt Castle as their quarterback.
But
they didn't go to the playoffs.
Right. Didn't go to the playoffs. Didn't win anything.
Yep. No, you got to have a quarterback. That's why I think you've got to have a quarterback. Now, you can put yourself in a position to be competitive, but really, the NFL is a quarterback league. The teams that have quarterbacks are successful year after year. The teams that don't are not. And for the Browns and for all the people who want to bash Johnny, and he has certainly had a very disappointing rookie season on and off the field, that's still your best path. There are multiple teams in the NFL thought this was a guy who was a first-round talent. That is your best path for Johnny Manziel to actually turn out to be a top half of the NFL quarterback. And if he is, then you have an opportunity to win Super Bowls.
You absolutely do. And again, that's why, you know, we're spending so much time on this topic, because it means so much to this organization, because right now and that's where the frustration lies with our fans. There's so much frustration centered around that quarterback position. We just want to get it right. We just want to have the guy that for 4 years in a row can start football games with talent around him. And also, too, that this all being said is, if you could have, and I said this walking out of the room, it's if we have the best, we could have the best defense in the league, but if we don't get it right at the quarterback position, it's absolutely irrelevant.
That is the truth of the National Football League right now, more true than ever. Matt in Manhattan. Matt, how are you avoiding the snow? How are you doing?
Hey, guys. I really enjoy the show.
Thank you, man.
Hey, so I'm going to take a little bit of a contrarian view to what's been said. I appreciate the fact that we really do need to get a quarterback in place, and I think what everybody's been saying about the draft is spot on, but where I think we've been missing is we're burning through draft picks by trying to find that quarterback. And if you look at Brandon Whedon, Brady Quinn, Colt McCoy, all those guys are gone, where we theoretically could have a guy in place that's helping the team. So I think what we need to do is take a step back, put some more pieces in place that we'll have long term, and then try to hit on that quarterback when we can.
I don't disagree with that, and I think you need to have – that's why, like I said, you have Johnny Manziel here. He's already been drafted. That's why he is the path of least resistance to success, especially at the quarterback position. There's no question about it. But, you know, otherwise you need to keep putting assets at it. Now, history has shown that unless you have a first-round quarterback, chances are they're not going to have success. That's just kind of the way that it's been, certainly over the last few years. The exceptions are few and far between. They're Tom Brady, they're Tony Romo, Russell Wilson is a third rounder, Drew Brees was a second rounder. Those are the exceptions to the rule. Pretty much every other good quarterback in the NFL is a first round pick. And that's just the reality of the situation. The Browns have just not hit on those first round picks. It's been Brady Quinn, it's been Brandon Whedon, and the jury's still out certainly on Johnny Manziel. Tim Couch was another one for the Browns. So that's four that they have invested those early picks on, and you need to hope that you can get that return. You need to get it. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. Otherwise, it's just not going to be – you're never going to get over the hump, and that's what the Browns need to do. Mike in Youngstown, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. The first thing I would do, and I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, but I'm going to sign Hoyer because Hoyer wants a chance to compete. So – if he has a chance to compete and Johnny Manziel would beat him out, Brian's already said that's what he wants. Second thing I would do, I would hire a person like a Bill Polian as an advisor. I would give Patton 2 more years on his contract, guaranteed, so that our coaching staff doesn't have to keep looking over their shoulder. More research. There was an article 3 years ago, a friend of mine at work brought to my attention about 2 months ago, the article on Johnny Manziel's father of how he feared for Johnny.
Right, from ESPN, yep.
Right. And you know, we don't know if Johnny's going to be a success or a failure, but if Hoyer's willing to do what he says he wants to do, we bring the advisor in, we research the players a little bit more. We have to have an open communication between the whole, whether, I know in the NFL you have offensive meetings, defensive meetings, but once a month, maybe get the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, Bill Polian. Let's do what's best for the team. We want players like Dansby and people like that that want to be in Cleveland to play here, because if we don't have people that actually want to play for us and play for money, we're not helping ourselves. And I don't think by any means we should get rid of our draft choices. I think we should build off the draft choices, but we need to make smart decisions and not chase people in free agency to sign them. Once again, we need people that are going to want to be a Cleveland Brown and play like a Brown. And like I said, the most important thing is give Coach Patton and his staff the opportunity to know that they're going to be able to maybe fulfill their mission And before I hang up, one thing about Couch, you know, everybody makes fun of Tim. Had Tim been with a team like this even, with the running backs and offensive line, yeah, he would have been a good quarterback. But really enjoy you guys a lot. And, Matt, go Bucks.
Go Bucks, buddy. Thank you very much for your call. And, again, just to touch base on a couple of your points, and it was a very good thought, but I want to give you my thoughts on some good, bad, and indifferent. Is I don't think adding Bill Polian this year right now would be very good because, as we said, all the decision makers right now, Bill Polian would be on that trip with these guys to get in.
And, I like who's here.
And
I really do.
I do too. But I'm just saying sometimes it's, you know, it's good to add someone who's had success and built organizations, which at this point right now you've got some inexperience. But that's, you know, that's a good thing, and you love that youth.
And he turned down, by the way, an opportunity to really do that with the Buffalo Bills.
Exactly. So that all being said, in your wanting to sign Brian Hoyer, the one thing that we have to understand, and you talked about extending Pettine so he doesn't have to look over his shoulder. Extending Brian Hoyer here in Cleveland with Johnny Manziel under contract, we saw the mental weakness and the play every time anything mentally hit Brian Hoyer's mind, whether it was positivity in contract talk or questioning about Johnny Manziel and the competition that he's in and who's going to start. Anytime that came into play, it affected Brian Hoyer's play in the game on Sunday. So to me, it's because they have this 1 year of trial and error of Johnny and Hoyer and their personalities being in the same room. I think we've got Johnny Manziel under contract, and I think you got to get competition from another place, not necessarily Brian Hoyer, because he would be learning a new system, you know, as well. So it's not going to be playing to his strengths and everything he did so well last year, even though we've heard John DeFilippo say he's not going to be very rigid in his thinking. He'll do what we do best. But Brian Hoyer looking over his shoulder constantly with Johnny Manziel and the hoopla that surrounds him is not a positive thing for Brian or the Cleveland Browns.
I just want to find out if a guy can be the guy, and I've seen enough from Brian Hoyer to know that he can't be the guy. He is not a franchise quarterback. I'm not saying that Mark Sanchez is. I'm not saying that
Ryan
Mallett
is. You're not saying that Brian
can't
win games.
I'm not saying he can't win games. He's proven that he can win games. I'm not saying Jake Locker is. But I want to at least get an opportunity to look at somebody who maybe with a change of scenery could grow. I think Tim Couch, had he been in a different situation, could have been the guy, but he ended up being damaged goods here with the Browns. I think that you need to have you got to find that quarterback. That's something that needs to be done. If Brian Hoyer comes back, that's fine. But in my opinion, I think there are better options out there for the Browns at quarterback. But again, you don't want to price yourself out of that as well. You need to continue to get, you know, the ball rolling on this team, continue to build in the short term, but also with an eye on long-term growth and getting it done. When we come back, more calls. You guys are blowing it up, 216-578-0850. Just about the overall strategy of this team. What should be happening at this leadership summit, short-term, long-term, quarterback? What do you want the Browns to do? What would you say to Jimmy Haslam if you had the open mic to do so? Let us know right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We a little bit off now for this crazy game.